the Comforter abides with me. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides with me. Well, he abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
That is a wonderful thing. Amen. 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 Brother John, I didn't even see you here. Come on up. Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Maybe seated for a moment. God bless you. It's good to be here today. Amen. Worship the Lord. You know, we don't really add anything to Him. It benefits us to worship the one true living God, to know Him, to experience Him. And I believe He gives us that opportunity. Let me use this. It's a little easier for me to hear myself here on the monitor. So praise the Lord. Just an announcement before we get into the scriptures. Amber finished this book, which is of the May trip. And she gathered all the pictures from everybody that went. And it says, there is a joy in the journey. And so it took a long time. But most of that was my fault because Amber had made good progress and on pictures that you'd given her, but she hadn't got my pictures. I thought she had, I guess, and so then when she got all my pictures, she said, oh, I have to do a lot more. And so it was delayed and delayed. But Amber put a lot of work into this. And so there are a few flaws in the book. And it's kind of like, you know, the masterpiece. You know, the flaw makes it the masterpiece, right? So if you find any flaws, feel free to go tell somebody else. And that's fine because Amber probably doesn't want to hear it, so. It's a very nice book. It's a nice memory. So every family can have a copy of this book, even if you didn't go on the trip. So after the service today, Amber's going to be in the fellowship hall. And we just want to make sure we check off every family, one copy for each family. And we hope you enjoy it. So let's all thank Amber for doing the book. So it was a nice memory. You know, I'm glad we did it. I think a lot of people had good feedback. And so we're thinking about another trip, maybe just a long weekend in the Lancaster area, the Amish area. There's a lot of things you can do there. There's a tabernacle in the wilderness, which is, if you've never been there, it's worth going. But even if you have been there, it's worth going again. And there's a lot of, it's a nice Mennonite, I think, library, and then they have a display of the actual size of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And near there is a Sight and Sound, which I think they do a very good job presenting Bible stories. If you've never been there, it's worth going to. So there's the Amish country in the area, and then there's the Gettysburg's about an hour, maybe an hour and a half from there, which is a favorite of ours. And if we have time, it's nice to stop along the way of the tour of Gettysburg and look at that. So we're thinking about that. Just pray about that. If it's the Lord's will, maybe we'll have like a long weekend trip there, and maybe the saints from Elkton would want to join us again. I'm not sure. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah.
Brother Junior is planning a trip to Sight and Sound.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we can hook up with Brother Junior. That would be nice.
That would be nice. So again, feel free. There's we're not asking anything for the book, and even you know, if you're not coming here regularly, just each family is entitled can get a copy of this book. So please just see Amber in the side there. Okay? Did I miss anything? No? Okay. So praise the Lord. Let's all stand. I want to read Psalm 46. We sang about the Comforter, and there's a lot of comfort that we get from the Psalms. Amen. Psalm 46, and I want to start with verse 1, but let's bow our heads one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful that we can take this time and turn to you, Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all these things. And Lord, we know this is your book, inspired by your spirit, moving on just unworthy men, but writing in this book your word, using it to communicate to us your thoughts and spiritual food in due season. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would come upon each and every one of us today. Open up the bread of life to us, Lord. I confess I'm unworthy and unable to do anything good, Lord. Without you, I can do nothing. And Lord, we give ourselves to you today, and we ask that you just take each and every one here, Lord, and you see their needs and the battles they're in right now, Father, what they have need of. I have no idea, Lord, but you know. And we commit all things to you, and we ask you to take control and have preeminence in this service and in our life. Bless the reading of your word, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's such a truth, isn't it? Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. What a comfort the scriptures are in times of trouble, and surely we are in trouble sometimes. When we look around the world, and you know, we can hear the leaders of the world trying to keep the people comfort, trying to give comfort, trying to give certainty in an uncertain time. But we know, obviously, they can't do that. Obviously, the world is very troubled, and things cannot go on as they are, and everything is coming to a head just as the scriptures have promised. And even though there's a delay, God is in the delay. He's always in the delay. God, he's a God of perfect timing. He has all things in control. Nothing is happening that he didn't foresee. Nothing happens in our life that he didn't foresee. Now, sometimes we go through pain and suffering, and this world is headed for trouble, and we don't like to think that God knew that was going to happen and would allow that to happen. But see, God is so much greater than we are, and His plan is so much higher. We should never try to say that if I don't understand, there's something wrong. No, there's many things we don't understand. There's many things that we accept by faith that there is a God that created the whole universe. So we in our mind can say, well, why doesn't he make himself more visible? You know, we can reason in our mind. We can think things, you know, just a thought. But that has nothing to do with what God's plan is and who he is. What we need to believe is there is a God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He is the creator. He's almighty. He's so far beyond us that we live in time. We live in this one dimension of time, but God is beyond the dimension of time. He is so far greater than us that, you know, as I was studying something recently and we're just traveling in a straight line on time, he could take a right angle at any moment in time and spend billions of years on that moment. Do you realize how great our God is? He could spend billions and billions of time years on one moment in time, in every moment of our time. That's how great our God is. You say, well, I can't imagine that. No, we can't imagine God. We believe God. We have faith that He exists. Now, He doesn't want us to try to figure Him out. He wants to believe that He is that kind of God, that He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. And He wants us to be simple in our approach to Him, that He is God and He's in control. So I take comfort looking at the scriptures like this, and God is our refuge and our strength. And he is my refuge. When things get bad, you know, we can turn to one another, but there's only so much we can do for each other. God is my refuge and my strength in the time of trouble. When I don't understand what's happening, I go to Him because I know He understands. You know, in just one moment in the presence of God, He can help us to understand things we don't understand. If we approach Him by faith and in simplicity. Now, He may not give us understanding of everything, but I believe He'll give us what we need. I believe He'll give us what we need for the time that we're in, if we approach Him in the right attitude and the right atmosphere. We are not to fear what's happening. If you look at the psalm and we see, you know, he says, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, the mountains shake. There is a river. There is a river. That's where we take our refuge and comfort, in the river of God. God is in the midst, right? Now, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were removed. So not only he talks about the natural earth being shaken, but the kingdoms of the earth being shaken. We are not to fear. We are not to be afraid. We are to take our refuge in God. What time do you think we're living in? Things are not going to go on as they are now. There is trouble coming on this earth greater than the trouble we've seen before. A time of trouble that never was before. How do we say that? What gives us a right to say that? Because the Bible promises that. We see that the stage is set. We believe we're in the closing moments before the second coming of Jesus Christ. He came first to redeem His bride. He comes next to capture His bride out of this earth. And third, He comes with her to set up His reign. And we are right at that time where it's delayed. And one of the reasons the Bible talks about delay, this is it. Let he that's filthy be filthy still. Let he that's righteous be righteous still. Mercy is going to come off that throne, and it'll be a judgment seat. And it's not comfortable to talk about the judgments of God, but it's the truth that the judgments of God are already striking this earth in many ways. but they're going to become more visible and more visible. So people trying to find comfort, trying to find certainty. You know, I don't really follow the stock market, but I heard recently that it's at record highs. That they follow the Dow Jones or whatever, the record highs. But what certainty is there in that? What certainty is there in the financial systems of the world? It's actually imaginary money. There is no comfort in that. It's only worth what somebody's willing to pay. And so today they're willing to pay this, but tomorrow the whole thing can crash overnight and they're not willing to pay anything. Overnight. So this illusion of wealth that people are trusting in can easily be removed. The mountain of wealth that exists can easily be just wiped out in the earth. And it will be. You cannot trust in those things. We cannot trust in anything that we see. We trust in the Almighty God and His Word. We should be aware, beware of modern trends. All of us. When it comes to the way people behave in the world. Now, what I'm talking about is the world is filled with people that spend more than they make. Say, why do you talk about that? Because it's an illusion that you can keep going that way. Eventually, you get to the place where you can't go any further and there's big trouble ahead. But the world lives in a place where you can put down a credit card, you can take a loan that you don't need, you can do all kinds of stuff. But really, the wise man spends less than he makes. If we want to be wise, we don't want to follow the modern trend of the world. See? Help us, Lord. Live within your means. Avoid the get-rich-quick schemes that always are there for people who have a motive. They want where you want to build some kind of wealth, and then you don't have to trust God anymore because you have your own wealth. You know, we have to trust God because wealth is not going to keep you. Every day we need God. If you have a roof over your head, thank God.
Amen.
If you have food to eat, thank God. You know, last week when I was sick, and I was trying to remember the last time I was sick. And in the midst of my sickness, I was thanking God because He had kept me so healthy for so many years. But you know, sometimes when you get really sick, it makes you appreciate health. And He is the one that keeps us healthy. He is the one that keeps disease from us. There is a miracle of divine healing where someone has cancer and is healed. But there's also a miracle of being kept well, where God keeps us well, and we should praise God for that. I thank God that He delivered me in my time of sickness. And, you know, when I look at the political systems of the world, how corrupt they are, has it ever been this corrupt? Like people say, the world's always been corrupt. There's always been perversion. There's always been trouble. It's not worse today than it was. But I say it is worse today than it's ever been. Because the corruption is just coming out of everywhere. It's just being exposed everywhere. Corruption in politics. Corruption. We know Hollywood's corrupt, but now even Hollywood, it's just so bad, it's coming out of everywhere. People in charge that abuse their power over other people. See, if you're given authority and power, God's going to hold you responsible for that. What did you do with that authority? You say, well, Brother John, I have no authority. If you're a parent, you have authority. See? You can be just at work and you can be given authority. God help us that we be careful what we do with the power we've been given in this world. Because I believe the God of eternity is watching what we do with what we've been given. What do we do with what we've been given? So the financial markets are not sustainable. We're headed to a major correction or whatever you want to call it. I say it's going to be a total disaster this next eruption that happens, the political systems, perversion everywhere, even amongst the ranks of Christianity, perversion, and nothing stumbles people more than when something in the name of Christianity is exposed as really wrong. It stumbles. See, when we claim to be a Christian, we're a target for the devil. Because he knows that someone who claims to be a Christian, if he can take them down and expose them as wrong, that hinders someone who's not really a Christian. They look and they say, see, they're no different. We should be different. There should be something different about us. Praise God. But nothing is hidden from our God. There's much perversion that hasn't been exposed. But is there, when you think of God, is there anything hidden from God? There's nothing hidden in this world. There's nobody who is corrupt. There's no system that's corrupt that he doesn't know about. There's nothing corrupt in our lives that he does not know about. The sensible thing is, if you see something corrupt in yourself, to confess it to God and repent. That is the only sensible thing to do. Trying to cover up anything in our lives is ridiculous. It's insanity. All that is wrong will be exposed. Some men's sins go before judgment. Some men's sins follow after. Everything's going to be exposed. We're all exposed to God right now. There's nothing hidden. Nothing. Don't worry. Say, well, somebody's hiding something. Are you worried that it won't be exposed? Everything will be exposed. What we need to do is look inside ourselves. Examine ourselves. Say, God, open the doors. Open the doors to God. Let him come in and sweep it out. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 2. I just want to read some words that Jesus said about this. Luke chapter 12, verse 2. For there's nothing covered. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Now look at that statement. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Nothing, neither hid, that shall not be known. Everything shall be made known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I send to you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill you the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed, he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear. God is the only one that deserves our fear. See? Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Do you believe that?
Amen.
He knows every sparrow. He knows every insect. He knows everything. See, sometimes our greatest enemy is unbelief that God even sees us. God's too busy. God doesn't see me. He sees everything. He knows everything. He's so much greater than what we imagine. He knows he's concerned about, I believe, about every part of our life. And that unbelief that he's not concerned causes us to go the wrong way. He cares. Just because you can't see doesn't mean that he doesn't care. The Bible says he cares. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I remember I was preaching about that, and Brother Paul came up to me and he said, I said he knows the number of your hairs. And he said, well, don't you think it means every hair has a number? And not that he knows the number of your hairs. And I said, well, Brother Paul, either way, he's a great God, isn't he? I mean, think about it. Is that really the debate? Is whether he knows the number of hairs that you had or is every hair numbered? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Can you imagine numbering 1, 2, 3? Okay, it's easier for me than some of you. But the fact that he is that great should make us understand every part of our life he's concerned about. Every part of our life. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. People have a problem with the self-value. We're living in a world where people don't see the value of their own self. So much to the place, it's an epidemic of people seeing no value and no hope, and they want to take their life. That is not the voice of God. God values you. You're worth more than 10,000 worlds. Your life to God, he values you. He wants to communicate with you. It's the devil that wants to destroy you. You're worth more than many sparrows. I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Wouldn't you like God to stand for you? Amen. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they shall bring you unto synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Praise God. See, there's nothing hidden from our God. He knows everything. He knows our every thought. Before we were born, before the world was created, he knew every person that would exist. He knew their whole life out there. There's nothing hidden before God. That should be our confidence. Praise the Lord. There are no wrongs that will not be dealt with. Every wrong will be made right. God will take care of that. Sometimes it's our unbelief that God is in control, that he knows that he's going to take care of all wrongs. It causes us to do things we shouldn't do. It causes us to get out of place. It causes us to try to manipulate God and force a situation. No, God's going to take care of it. So you be careful you don't get out of line while you're trying to expose somebody else for being wrong. That doesn't please God. We're not to fret over evildoers. Do you realize the Bible talks about a time when evildoers will be no more? You'll consider their place and you won't find them. There'll come a time when they don't exist anymore. Doesn't matter what status somebody has in this world, that means nothing. If we're not born again, if we do not have eternal life, one day we will be no more. Right now, the greatest thing that people can do and seek is the Holy Ghost. Seeking God through Calvary, God's provided way of escape. Seeking his plan, seeking what he desires from us, seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I know if God hadn't called you to that, you wouldn't desire that. But we need to pursue that desire that he gives to us. Don't let the devil cloud the main thing with all these other distractions. The Holy Ghost is the main thing because that's God's purpose and that's God's plan and that's how he communicates through us, to us, through the Holy Ghost. We're not to fear those that can kill the body, but we're warned to fear God. There's not enough fear of God in the land today. The modern trend is to mock God, and God is not mocked. God will not be mocked. So, we shouldn't fear man or society. We should only look to God. And we know this, there is no peace in this world. There is no satisfaction in this world. There is none. People are chasing comfort. They're chasing peace. And they're not able to get to it. But if we find God, we find peace.
Amen.
If we find God, we find comfort. In Him is everything that we have need of. See, so look within ourselves. What are we chasing? What are our goals? What's our ambitions? What are we trying to accomplish? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen. Seek ye first. There is a place of rest, and we know it's in the Holy Ghost. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. See, if the devil can convince you God doesn't care about you, he's got you right there. Because that is one of the most severe forms of unbelief, is to get some, when the devil gets you, God doesn't care about you. We have to disbelieve the Bible in order to believe that. But when you believe that, the devil takes you off into depression and isolation and into evil, darkness, no hope. Praise the Lord Jesus. There is hope in Jesus. I believe He cares about us. He died for us. And it says, and when they bring you to the synagogues, think about that. The magistrates, take no thought what you shall answer. Now notice how much trust He wants you to have in the Holy Ghost. Now can you imagine, like the first disciples, and it could happen again easily in this life, when they take you and they throw you in jail and they bring false accusations against you, all kinds of trouble. Can you imagine how you would feel? You know, our mind starts to race when things don't go the right way. And we start to think, what can I do? What should I say? He's saying, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry. In that time of trouble that's coming, He was prophesying to the disciples. They're going to take you. When they bring you into the synagogues and magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what thing ye shall say. You see, be still and know that I'm God. He wants us, when trouble comes into our life, to be still and trust Him. Don't race and try in a human way to, what am I going to do? How am I going to figure it out? We're not to figure it out. We're to trust the Almighty. He is our God. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our deliverer. And He will be there at the critical time. That should be our confidence. Our God will not leave us here. Rest in the Holy Ghost. Take no thought what you shall say. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to be still. The hardest thing to do is to take no thought what you shall say or what you shall think or what you shall do. But to rest and trust in God. I believe the time is coming on this earth where we need to understand this principle, that we are not to be troubled when things start going majorly wrong in this world. We are to trust our God. Listen, you and I, we can't stop the judgments that are coming. You and I, we can't stop the tribulation period from coming. We can't stop that Jesus Christ is coming back to capture His bride out of this world, and then great judgments are striking. The devil's cast out of heaven. He'll make war. We can't stop that. What can we do? We should find what we need to be doing. God, what do you want me to do? It should give us comfort that He doesn't want us to figure it out on our own. He doesn't want you to figure out on your own what you should do in that time. He wants you to trust that He's there and He's going to be with you. He will not abandon us in the great trials that are coming, and that should be a great comfort to us. The Comforter. God will not leave us. Those who have the Holy Ghost. See, and you need to have the Holy Ghost, or actually you are without comfort. You are without rest. You are without. That's why the main thing is the Holy Ghost. But again, it's hard to be still when you know something should be done. Something must be done. It's hard to be still. Help us, Lord. Sometimes the best thing to do and the right thing to do is to trust God. Trust is a big word. T-R-U-S-T, trust. And we should all get alone and ask ourselves, do I completely trust God? That I'm in His hand, I'm in His control. Help us, Lord. God is our refuge and our strength, the very present help in trouble. Do you believe that? When trouble strikes, what's your first thought? Is it God? When something happens in your life that is completely wrong and you want to fix it, is our first thought, but God is with me? How do we react when trouble strikes our life? How do we react? Our first thought is, God is my refuge and strength. He's a very present help in times of trouble. I will not fear though the earth be removed. I will not fear though the mountains go into the sea. I will not fear tidal waves and earthquakes and hurricanes and political systems going crazy and financial systems rattling, nations falling. I will not fear a nuclear holocaust because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up. Not here. Not here. I think a Christian's real heart's desire should be, I want to live as long as God wants me to live here and not a day longer. I want to do what God wants me to do and that's it. And when He's done with me, I'm fine with Him taking me. And we should stand every day with courage. You know, we know that crazy people are walking into churches and shooting people. What will we do in that hour? How will we behave in the time of trouble? Will we face death and say, death's a doorway to me? That gun can't go off unless God lets it go off. Will we speak in that hour? Will we trust in that hour? You know what a privilege it is to give your life for God? People don't think like that because you know why? We value this life too much. We value things in this world way too much. The things beyond are worth so much more. And yet we hold on to this life like it's the only one. We're not to be like the rest of the world. We were told not to be like the rest of the world when the saints die. No. We're to remember they're coming back. He died, but He rose from the dead, and He's alive today, and He's coming back with the saints that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Do you believe it? And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. But if we should go before that hour, we should have confidence, but I'll be there in that day. And He'll raise me up in that day. Praise God. There's coming a shaking time. That's what we're trying to say. There's a shaking time coming that's greater than what we've seen. Those without God will not be able to stand. Those with Him will need to trust Him in that hour more than ever. Let's go to Hebrews 12, verse 24. Hebrews 12. Praise the Lord Jesus. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Hebrews 12. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
The Bible promises that there's coming a shaking time on this earth, such as, in my opinion, such as never was before. The stage is set. Israel's in its place. God sent a prophet before the judgment. Always mercy comes before judgment. He vindicated that ministry unlike any ministry since Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders and miracles. We don't put signs before the Word of God, but this message came according to the Word of God. And the prophet brought us back to a faith in the original faith, the original Pentecostal experience, the original doctrines of the disciples, Paul's gospel. Everything about this message was according to the Word of God. And God confirmed it with signs and wonders and miracles on display and in such humility that people stumbled by the humility of the prophet of God. Not learned, not according to this world, but in humility. God always reveals himself in humility. He never comes in arrogance. He never comes in a haughty spirit. He always comes lowly. Brother Branham told the story during the Six Seals about the wash girl who was out there. And I think people misunderstand sometimes the purpose of these stories. And they think, well, it was a nice story. And that was nice, but this washwoman, she felt unworthy to even come into the dance. She was washing the dishes. Her clothes were ragged. She didn't look at herself as a candidate for the bride to the owner's son. And all the ones that thought they were worthy, all the ones that pushed themselves out of front, all the ones who claimed to be, presented themselves to be, he should pick me and pick me, pick me. You know, God's going to pick who he wants to pick. But there's a secret there. He's attracted to humility and not haughtiness. And you and I, we, every one of us, needs to be careful of being lifted up in ourselves, even just a little bit.
Amen.
How does that come out? When you're a little lifted up, your opinion matters in somebody else, matters more to you. Other people's opinions don't matter. Your opinion's first. You know, is that the kind of bride God's looking for? Help us, Lord.
Amen.
He looked to that woman. He came out. When he came into her presence, she didn't even want to look at him. I believe that the bride of Christ has an intense reverence for God. He's God. He doesn't need me. I'm unworthy even to speak to him. And he said, I want to talk to you. You know, what a privilege. God pulls us to talk to him. And yet, do we talk to him? And then, finally, we know the story. She says, well, I've been watching you. I want you to be my bride. You know, there is a bride. Not just from this generation, but from every generation. There's individuals that God has chosen to be with him. There's people that'll be saved. There's people that'll have eternal life. And we can't even put words to what that means. But there's a special, separate group in the bride of Jesus Christ. And it's not that they were better than the others. It's that they were selected. They were elected by God. God, help us to see, to realize all of us are unworthy. There's none of us worthy. You're not more worthy than somebody else. Praise the Lord. The world has no idea how near we are to the greater judgments. It's obvious. They keep saying things will get better. Mocking God, worshiping corrupt perversion, trampling on the mercy of God. But one day they'll cry for mercy when there is none. How sad is that? Jesus came the first time in the acceptable year of the Lord. But his second coming, the second part of that scripture in Isaiah, is the day of vengeance of our God. The Bible even says, be careful those who want to see the coming, the day of the Lord. Don't say you want it because it's a terrible day. We want God's mercy is what we want. God thoroughly vindicated this end time message and it was spurned. God manifested his healing power, not just in Brother Branham's ministry, in many ministries. God manifested discernment in Brother Branham's ministry, unlike other ministries. God offered his love and mercy to those that could believe, but once mercy is spurned, judgment is on the way. And we're living in that generation that will see the judgments of God. We should pity the people in this generation that are without Christ because of the trouble that's coming. Let me just share a few things Brother Branham said about the judgments. He said, and now I was speaking to some ministers recently about the judgments fixing to strike this nation. And they said, Brother Branham, God could not punish this nation because of the sacredness of the nation. Our forefathers who were real gallant Christians at Plymouth Rock and so forth, he'd remember that. I said, God loved Israel and said so in the Bible, and he never did say that he loved us in that way. But that was his first love, was Israel. And yet when Israel got out of the will of God, God poured out judgments of heaven upon Israel. And we will not escape the judgments of God. If David was a man after God's own heart, and when David sinned before God, God made David reap what he sowed, and we'll never come short of that. Whether it's an individual, a church, a community, a nation, God will require judgment of sin. Amen. We all realize that. See, that's why if we recognize we're guilty of anything, we ought to run to Calvary. Because that's where he took our judgments on himself. Amen. Don't try to hide from God. Run to God. Run to his mercy. Never try to cover up when you're wrong. Expose ourselves. Another place, Brother Rand says, when you find the supernatural, every man is trying to look past the curtain. No matter who he is, he wants to see where he come from, where he's going, all about it. And there's only one book that can tell you that. This is it. It tells you who you are, where you come from, where you're going. It's the only book there is, and that's the Bible. That'll tell you who you are, where you come from, where you're going. Now I want you to notice, they went up a mixed multitude, and that caused the trouble among them. As they got up there, God in his sovereign grace, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance, always makes preparation of a way of escape for those who desire to come by the way of escape. He did it in the antediluvian world. He did it in the days of Moses calling out Israel. He did it in the days of the Lord Jesus. He's done it yet today, just before the judgments are to strike the world. God is calling out a people, those who are willing to walk and take God's preparation, how to escape the wrath that's coming upon the earth. And I trust that there's none in divine presence tonight that will ever have to stay here and suffer through the great wrath of God that's soon to come on the earth. There's no way of escaping it. Listen, mark this down. If God doesn't do something and send judgment to these nations right away, he'll have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. This nation has gotten worse than that. I remember even as a young child when it was a shame to be in perversion of homosexuality. Now it's promoted. Our society promotes it. And if you say anything against it, you're guilty of a hate crime. Do you realize how our society's changed? It's changed dramatically. Not only that, but the transsexual, transgender, all this, it's perversion being promoted. It's sin. Brother Brandt says we're at the end of the road. And he can't just let it get things go by now and be just. He'd have to apologize to those who he destroyed in the days gone by. So we're at the end. It behooves you to check your spiritual conditions every hour of the day and be ready. For you do not know what time it's coming. God has made a way. He's sending everything, preaching the word, signs and wonders. He give one the message of preaching, another the sign message, another everything, not willing that any should perish, setting his gifts in order in the church and so forth, and still people continually wade right on through just like they didn't pay any attention to it. If they had only realized that their soul, that in their soul was a spirit of the devil that was dominating their life, that it can't be nothing else. People don't realize that there's this demon spirit in their life. God help us.
Amen.
Every one of us should examine ourselves carefully. Brother Bram says this about that, your life. Now, you examine yourself. Don't sit there examining somebody else. This is too serious. You look within yourself. Notice, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. That's right. So you see, on my chart here, I got the foundation. Faith is the foundation for it all. Faith, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you're a skeptic of the Bible, when you're a skeptic of the word being right, you just might as well stay back until you first believe it. See, what is sin? Unbelief. There's only two elements that controls the human being. That's either doubt or faith, one or the other. You're possessed by the one that dominates your life. Just depends how much faith you have, how high you can rise. Faith or doubt. Listen, all of us can have unbelief come to us. In our mind, we can have doubts and fears come into our mind. But what dominates your life? Many times we want to take action on how we feel, but we should take action on what we believe.
Amen.
What do you believe about yourself, about the Word of God, about the time we're living in? We can't trust our feelings. Our feelings can be great one day and terrible the next day. Feelings are deceptive. And the devil's an expert at making you feel one way that's contrary to what you know is right and tries to get you to make a decision based on how you feel. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. You can't trust what we see in this world. You can't trust what the modern world's saying to you. There's only one word we can trust. It's the Word of God. And if he gave us faith to believe that word, we need to stay with that. We need to be passionate about staying with faith in the Word of God. Every day, some days I feel horrible. You get that gloomy, strange feeling around you. But what is it that I believe? It's in my soul. What do I believe? I believe one day he touched me. I believe one day the eternal God reached down his hand and touched me, and that's what matters the most. There is a God. He's coming back for his bride. Though we may not feel worthy to be part of this end time plan and this end time message, we're here. God has revealed things to us that he has not revealed to other people. Not because we deserved it. It's just the grace of God. If I can see something, he showed it to me. If he gave me revelation, I didn't deserve it. He gave it to me. We're not better than anybody else. We're not better than people in denominations. We should feel sorry for people trapped in creeds of men. And while we're in the presence of people that are trapped, we should be praying within ourselves, Lord, give me wisdom to say something that could help them. But most of all, people need to see that you care about them.
Right.
Not that you want to win an argument with them. God help us. Habakkuk chapter 2, just a couple verses. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The vision, God's vision, sometimes they tarry for many years. He'll speak through a prophet, which is an unusual built person. And he's a seer. He's saying things he doesn't even understand himself. And maybe it's many years. Isaiah said a virgin shall conceive. How much time went by before that virgin conceived? But see, that word, that vision of God shall come to pass. One thing we should have confidence in, he's eternal being. And when he speaks, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass. Think of it. God sent a vision to this generation, I believe. A way of escape for the coming of judgments. A clear vision to those who want mercy. This country has been blessed. United States has been blessed by God, just as Israel was blessed. Yet most have rejected Jesus Christ. This generation was indicted by a prophet for crucifying Jesus Christ afresh. Through creeds and dogmas, crucifying the Word of God. They turned their back from His Word and His Spirit. God foreknew this would happen. He showed His prophet what was coming. You know, I gleaned just little pieces from Brother Branham when he was talking about his visions. And he was talking about this country. He says, then I seen the United States as one smoldering, burnt over place. It will be near the end. Is that going to happen? I believe that's thus saith the Lord. Amen. It's going to happen. You notice, he didn't talk about some other country. He talked about the United States, the country that God sent so much mercy to, the country that this end time message was sent to. Then I turned to look, and I seen the United States was a smoldering something, and it had burned it up. That's in the name of the Lord. It shall be that way, see? A smoldering something. Another place. And then I seen the United States just like something had burned it over. And just something blowed up rocks and things. Destruction's coming to this country. It's a promise of God. Do we realize what's coming to this country? The last place here, he says, then I seen the end when the United States looked like a big bunch of bursted up stones and things like that, just blowed up, smoldering. He saw it. He saw stones bursted up. He saw smoldering the United States. Do you believe it? Smoldering everywhere. Oh, repent and flee from the wrath to come. Church of the living God, get back to the real gospel, friend. Turn to God with all your heart, for your hours are short. You say, Brother John, he said that many years ago. But listen, I realize God has tarried. How much longer do we think God's going to tarry? At a time you think not, that's when he comes back. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. We are not children of darkness that we should be overtaken. We're children of the light. We should be praying. We should be in tune with the Holy Spirit and realize what's happening to this earth. We read Psalms, and I'm going to read this Psalm again, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to be ready. Amen. Therefore, we will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Shall she not be moved? She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the end of the earth. You know, we can look back in the Bible, and we can see how present God becomes. How often has our God waited to the last minute and then come on the scene? You know, I love that story in the Bible. We love to see Israel coming out of Egypt, and we see the plagues in Egypt, and we've seen Pharaoh, God harden his heart, soften his heart, and God manifested his power. He brought Israel out with a strong arm, and then they were by the Red Sea, and it looked like they were doomed, and the armies of Egypt are coming down on Israel, and it just looked like something was wrong, and they started to speak against Moses and against God. And God just blasted the Red Sea. And he parts the Red Sea. And they went over on dry ground. That's our God. And then they get over and the Egyptians dare to follow. And they go down and they're wiped out and destroyed. And there's the people of God looking back and saying, our God is God. He fought for us today. Will that God not fight for us today? One of my favorite stories is that when the king of Assyria was trying to terrify Israel, Sennacherib. And Hezekiah, who was one of the great kings in Judah, and there he was, and Sennacherib sent his messengers down with threatening letters, and they said, don't trust Hezekiah, don't listen to Hezekiah. And then they got bold, and they said, don't trust your God, who says you will not be delivered. Have any other nations not been destroyed? Don't you love that story? 2 Kings 18, I think you can read it. And then God hears the prayer of Hezekiah. I love how it says Hezekiah pushes the letter in front of the Lord. Look what they said, God. Brothers and sisters, when trouble is all around you, just put it in front of God. And say, God, I don't understand everything that's happening. I don't know what's going on in my life. But you see everything. You see their threatenings. You see what the devil's doing. I put it before you, God. You see what they're saying. And God says, I heard your prayer. Believe it. God hears your prayer. And he come down. He says, not one arrow. He's not going to come into the city. I'm going to turn them back. And in one night, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died, slain by God. It doesn't matter how it looks, God is still God. Amen. Let's all stand. Be still and know that I am God. Unusual message today. But I trust that maybe you got something from the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I feel something stirring within me, Lord. Lord, I know we're at the end, Lord Jesus. I don't understand. I don't know what's next. But I know that there's trouble coming. Lord, may your people run to you now, Lord. May we make right all that's wrong. May we search within ourselves and seek your mercy and forgiveness. We know if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Lord, nothing can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we need you now, Father. The devil spews out his threatenings, Lord, that he will destroy us. Lord, hear our prayer today. Have mercy on each and every one of us here, Lord. Open our eyes so we can see, Father. Help us to focus on the right priorities. Let us not be distracted by the things of the world, the cares of this life, the modern trends, oh God. Lord, we see corruption everywhere. Lord, we long for the kingdom of the Most High, who will dwell in righteousness and holiness and truth, Lord. Oh God, help us, Lord Jesus. I need you, Lord. We all need you today. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to love one another, to do all things in love, not selfishness, not wrong motives and desires, Lord, not to be seen of man. Help us, Lord. Bless each and every one here. Fill us, everyone, with the Holy Ghost, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. Are you glad you're His? So glad your mercy. Amen. So glad I'm yours, Lord. Yes. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me. So glad.